Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. My name is Pachina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure for me to be here with you tonight. Whew, I cannot tell you how grateful I am to be here. For some reason, this thing is waiting for me. What just happened? Oh, shoot. Just hung up the phone. Okay, let's go right again. Thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. This is Pachina Kirkendall, and I tell you, it's just been an interesting 2 weeks, but we're going to keep it moving. Last week, we had some technical difficulties, and I actually started the show, and for some reason, I must have hit the wrong button and disconnected the show, so thank you for tuning in, and I want to thank everyone for just being patient with me throughout this process. I hope that everyone can hear me. If you cannot, please send me a text letting me know if you can or cannot. This is very weird. I hope that you are on here. Okay, so those of you who can hear me, this is Pachina Kirkendall. Once again, we're going to try this again. Three times is always the charm. If you can hear me, please send me a text at 678-887-9441. Once again, my number is 678-887-9441. This is Pachina Kirkendall, and once again, thank you again for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. Thank you. I appreciate that. We're just going to move forward into prayer because it's definitely necessary because the battle is already starting, but he does not get the victory. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you the honor and the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We give you the highest praise right now. And as we move forward, Lord, as this series that you've given me coming out of brokenness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you for who you are. And I just thank you for the lives that's been touched by this series so far. I thank you for those who have participated in the poll questions and those who are really just open up their souls, open up their minds. And I thank you for the guests that's been gracious who've come on the show and those who are moving forward into the series and the series to come. So, Lord, as we move forward, I thank you and I praise you. We give you the honor, we praise. I ask you that you decrease me and you bring, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in to just grace us with your presence, grace us with your love, grace us with your mercy. I thank you and I praise you that those who are tuning in, whether it's live or even it's by just tapping in from the web, I just thank you for those who are coming in and they're listening to it after the show, after the live recording, that this word that you're sending and this message that you're sending just be a fresh anointing, just be a fresh start, to be a new beginning for all those that it's intended to reach. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So as we move forward tonight, I noticed that if you are listening, I cannot see any of my callers right now for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I believe that all things happen for a reason. So we're going to move forward. So last 2 weeks, we talked about we got into the new year and to a new series, and it's coming out of bondage is what we're talking about, coming out of bondage. And the series that's the series that we're talking about in the month of January. I see you now. So in the month of January, we're talking about forgiveness, the unforgiveness and how it starts as unforgiveness and then going into forgiveness. And that is what we're going to talk about. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the root of unforgiveness, and it just comes from so many things. And we looked at the, you know, when I looked at the definition of unforgiveness, it talked about to be unwilling or unable to forgive, to stop, to feel angry, you know, or resentful towards someone or an offense, you know, or flaw or mistake that they've made. And that is what one of the things that they talked about as far as unforgiveness. And some of the things we talked about, what are some of the signs of unforgiveness? And some of them can be, you know, resentful. It could be bitterness. It could be many things, but what causes unforgiveness? What causes that resentfulness? What causes that bitterness? And that can come from abandonment. It could be rejection. It could be betrayal, as we mentioned with some of the testimonies that was read 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it's interesting because when it comes to unforgiveness, it, you know, the poll questions that was put out there was, you know, have you harbored unforgiveness, and what effect did it have on you harboring that unforgiveness? And it was so interesting when we talked about it, because not only that, the question that was asked in that two-part question is, are you still holding on to it? And it was so interesting when I spoke to quite a few people and they responded to it. And I want to thank those who did participate it. But two particular ones stuck out for me because it ties into what we're going to talk about tonight. And when they talked about that they're a work in progress, you know, I had a young lady in the metro Atlanta area who mentioned that they never thought about any unforgiveness until she answered my poll question and found that she's a work in progress. So she's not there yet, but she recognizes that she's there as far as she harbors the unforgiveness, but she's a work in progress on trying to forgive. And then we had another young lady from Charleston, South Carolina, who harbors unforgiveness. I won't say that it's something that she wants to do, but it's a work in progress. And everyone has their way of processing forgiveness and unforgiveness. I think in the young lady from Charleston's case, she identified it and realized that forgiveness has to come at some point, but it comes when she is ready. And how many of us, you know, have that? So it talks to tonight, we're going to go on, you know, forgiveness. Ooh, you know, what about that betrayal? What about that rejection? What about that abandonment? How long can we hold on to that? You know, some of the effects that we said that will happen with it is the bitterness. It is the resentment. And there's so many things that came out of it. You could lose your hair. For me, it was many things. It was health issues. It was many different events that happened to me. I lost my hair. I ended up with heart attacks and strokes, and I ended up with quite a few challenges. And when I was listening and reading the testimonies, I saw some of the same things. But, oh, forgiveness. The Bible says in Matthew 6:14, forgive ye for men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your father forgive your trespasses. And that's, I believe that's the part of the Lord's Prayer, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to talk about the title tonight is forgiveness is not an option, but it is your choice. It's not an option because he's not going to force you to do anything. You're not forced to forgive, but it is it is your choice to do it. If you want to continue to move on, and for believers or those who are trying to come into the world, we help welcome into the kingdom of Christ. It's not an option. It's something that has to be done. So before I move forward tonight, I want to just thank everybody for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And for those who are not familiar, you're more than welcome to tune in with us by logging into Blog Talk Radio. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can always come in, or if you're not familiar, www.blogtalkradio.com/ Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I am also available on Facebook. And you can reach me on Facebook at Chronicles of a Fondled Woman, and there's spaces in between. You're more than welcome to go on that page and also check out some of the poll questions. Well, I'll be putting out the poll questions for each of the episodes every week for that. So I will love your participation. Thank you for those who have participated in it. Also, thank you for the emails that's been coming in. I really appreciate it. You can also email me at coafwoman@gmail.com. That's coafwoman@gmail.com. And as we move forward, just recapping again, you know, last week we were talking about unforgiveness, but this week we're going to talk about forgiveness and the benefits of forgiveness. And tonight I have a special treat because I have a special guest with me tonight, and she is no other than actually one of my special people in my life. And she's actually like really, really big when it comes to Chronicles. She plays a very big part behind the scenes, but I'm getting her in front of the scenes tonight. And for some reason, I don't know what's going on with my laptop here. Okay, hopefully she got there. Hopefully she is here. Let me see. But while I'm trying to get her here, I think she's here. So while I'm trying to get her here, I want to introduce to some and present to others Ms. Karen and Walker. Are you there? I'm not sure she's here, but if she's not, I'm going to need her to call back in. Let's try this again. You know what? I don't know what's going on with the system. I'm not very sure, but we're going to keep it moving. So anyway, but as she's getting ready to log back in, and we're going to keep it moving as far as the subject is concerned and forgiveness. So you all know that I am a big Google fan. So of course, you know, I Googled the definition of forgiveness. So I found that forgiveness is defined as to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone or an offense, flaw, or mistake. That's what I found. And I found that to be very interesting. I have to say, easier said than done, but it is the definition of it. And in order to for forgiveness to happen, you have to first identify and let go of it. And we're going to talk about quite a few things when it comes to this, because this is actually a two-part of this show tonight. We're talking about, first of all, the benefits of forgiving, and then I'll be introducing how we're going to go into the next subject to next Sunday. So let's just move forward and just talk about forgiveness and what is forgiveness and how it benefits us as far as forgiving is concerned. And let's talk about the importance of forgiving. And of course, you all know that I'm a big Google fan. So I went out to this particular website, and it indicated it's the It's actually the Good Men Project. And I found a very good article regarding forgiveness. And I it's awesome. I can't wait to share it. So let's just go right into it. And it just talks about, you know, what is forgiveness? And they indicate, and I quote, "Forgiveness is for our own growth and happiness. When we hold on to the hurt, pain, resentment, and anger, it harms us far more than it harms the offender." And it kind of reminds me of something. Sometimes it reminds me of this. Sometimes we drink the poison thinking that it's going to harm the offender when we're actually killing ourselves. You know, how many people can relate to having that anger or bitterness or upset of someone who's offended you, and you just hold on to it thinking that you're hurting them when in fact it's actually you that you're hurting and not them that you're hurting? I mean, how many times have you, anyone has done something of that nature?
Something.
I know that I am guilty of that. Mute your phone, please. I know that I am guilty of that. So I know I've been to a point where I've just been so upset with someone. I figured if I just, you know, just stop talking or do whatever or hold the anger that aside, that I'm actually hurting them, but I'm actually hurting myself. And I'm actually the one that's dying on the inside. And honestly, sometimes they're not even thinking about me. You know, I'm just saying, by show of hands, you know, how many has been like that? But that's what that kind of reminded me of. And it's interesting. We just have to learn how to let go when we get to that point of letting go. And we also have to know, when it comes to forgiveness frees us to live in the present. Unforgiveness will cause us to stay stuck in our past. We're constantly repeating it. That's what we mentioned 2 weeks ago. We're constantly repeating and reliving that same situation. And we're reliving just, it's like taking a scab off a wound. You're just constantly reliving that pain, you know, reliving the wrong that was done to us, and keep living in the past and just missing out on the present and even possibly the future. So I believe that I have my guest on the line. So I'm going to introduce to others, Ms. Karen Walker. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for coming on Chronicles tonight. I'm not sure if you caught what I've been saying so far, but I've introduced, we're talking about the biggest benefits of forgiveness. And I was just talking about, you know, how I got this article. I found an awesome article by the Goodman Report, and it was just talking about, you know, why it's important to forgive and why should we forgive. And he just talked about how, you know, it's for our own growth and happiness. And then when we hold on to the hurt, pain, and resentment and anger, how it harms us more than it harms the offender. And my example that I used was someone, when we have a tendency, when we hold on to that resentment and anger, it's like almost like, you know, drinking poison and you're hoping that it'll hurt the offender when it's actually hurting you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm just, you know, sometimes when we get in that state of unforgiveness, it sometimes can create a false reality for ourselves. And once again, sometimes we could just be living in that situation where we're thinking we're hurting the person that offended us, and sometimes they're not even thinking about us or thinking about what they did.
Now they go on with their life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But you know, even something that you said, that where it says forgiveness helps us heal. You know,
mm-hmm.
Even though we want everybody to be healed, but it helps us heal. And then, you know, and even when you indicated about holding on to resentment can damage, you know, us as well as the other person. It can damage relationships, it can damage, you know, our not only our relationship with our with God, it could damage relationship with our family members, even our friends. So we have to learn how to forgive. We have to learn how to do it. And the person that you're going to go to ask you to teach you is going to be God. You're going to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to forgive. So it's something that we have to do for ourselves. Even if we don't do it for anybody else, we have to do it for ourselves. But we have to forgive the other person as well in order for God to forgive us, as the scripture says.
Exactly. You know, you hit on something that brings me to the next point I was going to do about forgiveness frees us to live in the present. You know, I mentioned that right before I got you on here about, you know, people reliving the wrong that's been done. It keeps us in the past and just missing out on our blessings. It just keeps us from missing out on our blessings. Also, forgiveness allows us to move on without anger or contempt or seeking revenge, you know. And when it comes to that, you got to be very careful with that, because just remember, whatever you sow, you will reap. And when you out there plotting this stuff, if you're digging a grave for someone, you better dig another one, because that could be the same one you put already in it. You better be careful, because the grave you try to put someone in may be the same one you put yourself in. And you have to be careful not to allow that to cause you to get to that point, you know. And then it goes to when you want to go on a scriptural level, you know, wrath, you know. We have to be careful not to let our anger bring us to wrath, because that causes us to sin, and that brings us really short to receiving His glory.
You know, just to kind of give an example, you know, what you know, the benefit of forgiving, just to kind of share, you know, be a little transparent. I say I wasn't going to be as transparent, but I decided to be very transparent a little bit. You know, growing up, of course, in that small town, growing up with a father who was raised by, you know, raised by someone much older, you know, older, the elderly, was raised by someone else. And so with the things that he had, that he passed through, he kind of, those, the same way he was treated, it kind of dwindled down to his children, that we got the same. Got the same ill treatment. So I'm not going to sit on this call and say that during those course of those years, you know, from early childhood up to till teen, I was building a hate for my own father, a hate because I felt that I was being mistreated based on the things that he have done, the things that I see he has done, and the way that, you know, the way that he treated, you know, treated all of us. And outside individuals could have come and tell him something, and he believed what that person said before he believed what he said. So that was such a hate. And when I said, and in the beginning, it was not a hate, because I was with my dad since I was five, going on six years old. So I was with him for a long period of time. And, you know, so I saw something different, and so I went to live with one of his aunts, and I stayed there for a while. But it's just that all the things that I saw, things that was happening, it kept, you know how those sore is that you keep picking on it until it gets worse? It was like just a growth of hate. And in my teenage years, it got worse. It's just like, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's like, why? So it just built up. Into my adult age, I mean, I wouldn't say my mom passed away in 2008. And so many things have been up. So whenever we needed something done or wanted something that we needed for school, we always went to her. We never went to him for nothing. And there was few times that she would send us to him. And I'm like, I am not going to him. I would do without. So that's how much hate and anger was built up. Even the talking back to him, even got into an actual physical altercation with him. you know, because of that, because of the hate. And it was like, and you didn't, I didn't realize that hate was there, but it was there because every time he would say something, it was just like, ugh. So one day something happened and he calls me out of the blue and he said some very harsh words. And at that point I said, I am not a dog. I do not look like a dog and you will not see me like a dog. And so he said what he wanted to say, and I was like, you know what, you're done. I disconnect the call. I drove to my grandmother's house, and of course, you know, at that time, open phone. I didn't have a flip phone at that time. So for some reason, my phone called him back, but I wasn't near the phone, so I just threw the purse on the chair, and then I was talking to my grandmother, and I was telling her, I said, I don't know why he would treat me this way. You know, do I need to get a blood test or something so I can find out what's going on? And so, in the midst of me talking to her, and I'm probably talking to her for 30 minutes, venting and crying to her about how he spoke to me and the way that he's been treating me and how I did not like the way that I was being treated. So after I checked my phone, I got a voicemail message from him saying, the next time you want to talk about me, make sure you hang up your phone or don't call me. Me being sassy, out of order, I called back and say, if you heard everything that I said to you, then God intended for you to hear. And I proceed to ask him, do we need to get a blood test? And then we can go ahead and settle everything. So a few months went by, several months went by actually. And then I moved. And then for some reason, it's just that all of a sudden, I was like, God, I need to forgive him. I need forgiveness for myself because the pain of my mother leaving got worse, where it started being a little depressed. I got a little depressed. So, you know, just that one day, then in the midst of my grandmother calling me on a Sunday morning and asking me if I was in church, and I was asking her, like, how can I be there if you're calling me? She said, I don't care if you catch nothing but the benediction. You need to get there. I got up. I went to a cousin's church. They had just started, and it was like 12:30 in the afternoon. They just started their service because they just got out of Sunday school because they start late services. I all I could do was completely break down. I asked God to forgive me, and I asked him to teach me how to forgive my father, and then I had a conversation with him. And that's when I learned that what he was giving us is what was given to him.
Yes,
so he didn't
him.
Know any different. He didn't know any better because that's all he ever, that's how he was treated. So he treated us the same way. So in that midst of forgiving, people will look at me now and see that, thinking that me and my dad was always like Ace Boon Coon, close up, you know, just like you ride and die, like they say.
Uh-huh.
And not until after I asked for that forgiveness is when the relationship became even much better than it was before, because we had a relationship with him, but it was not a great relationship in the beginning. So after age 40, it was a different relationship. So, you know, knowing for me, even though, you know, I might not have the same story as everybody else, but forgiveness causes us to have a better relationship with our loved ones. And then showing them how to show the love that they haven't been showing, because what they thought was they showing love was not really love. So it taught him how to love us for who we are and to accept us as who we are. So the relationship is much better. So that's what forgiveness did for me, is that it's not only because I'm a daddy's girl and always been, but I don't know, for that period of time, it's just, I don't know what happened, what took place, but there was a lot of things took place. But then I think the resentment and the hate that I started to feel is what probably kind of took that relationship in a different direction, and not expressing what I'm expecting from him as a father.
Mm. It's funny because we had another testimony about a gentleman who felt abandoned and rejected by his father, and his father was never there for him, and he felt a certain kind of way, and when and that's how he became very, very good at athletics, as he's a phenomenal basketball player. But it made him feel some kind of way when all the other fathers would be there at the games and his father was not there. And his father was in New York and he was in Carolina. And he would, his father would come and say, I've been hearing good things about you. And his mother was a single mother and she did the best that she could do. And he always loved her for that. He said, but eventually it consumed him. The unforgiveness consumed him to a point. But now he has gotten to the point where he actually forgave his father because now he has children. His children are grown now. You know, he has a son as well, and well, the daughter, and he's always there for his children. And as you know, but he went through that phase. And as I listen to you, I kind of hear him just on a different level. But that sense of rejection, that sense of abandonment, that sense of, you know, not, you know, I just hear it. And I can relate to that myself. I definitely know how that feels, you know, especially when you someone tells you, you know, they say something and they believe what's in the street versus what I have to say. And that for me, it was like a slap in the face. Like, are you, what? Are you kidding me? You know, it just, I get it. I thank you for being transparent. I really, really appreciate you being transparent because there's so many people out there that's feeling or have gone through or are going through what you're going through. And I just, you know, I just want to kind of, you know, fast forward a little bit and ask, you know, you had that conversation, you went to church, you had that conversation with your dad, and now you all are tight, but that was a process for you. Was it, well, let me ask you this, was it a process for you or was it immediate?
It was immediate for me because he was my dad and he took care of me.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, it was immediate for me because I didn't have, because I had the relationship with him in the beginning, and then all of a sudden, it's just like, what happened here? And then, I, of course, I thought there was a lot of things that he could have done differently. And then expressing the love, because, you know, sometimes we don't, in the South, living here in the South, and I know this with a lot of people that I've seen, and this is just the ones I've seen, they don't show love. They don't tell, they don't tell the children that they love them. You know, right. You know, I love you, and da-da-da-da. They just think you're supposed
like that.
To know. But no, I want you to tell me sometimes that your words makes a difference sometimes.
It does.
Even showing me with an embrace, even showing me with your embrace, but not saying that, well, I feed you, I give you a roof over your head. That's not, to me, that's not love.
No, that's what you're supposed to do.
Put a roof over my head. Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's your job. You decided to do what you do to bring me here, so therefore, you know, that's your job. But embrace me. Show me that you love me by embracing me. Tell me that you love me with your words. You know,
exactly.
And so those are things. So it was immediate. So what we as siblings started doing was my sister and I. What we started doing is that when we see him, we embrace him, because come to find out, no one gave him those embraces. Not even his own. You know, not even from his own parents. They didn't embrace him. So we embrace him. We, you know. Call him every day. If we don't call him every day, he calls us. That's what our problem. Ask me what my problem is if I don't call. And it was never like that. But as long as my mother was living, I was not going to have no relationship with him.
Right.
I was not going to have a relationship with him. But after she passed away, and it's been probably 2 years after she passed away, is when all that started coming out.
Wow. And now that that has happened, how do you feel mentally, emotionally, spiritually? I can definitely tell. you know, but how did that make you feel overall? I mean, if you don't mind breaking that down.
Well, like, you know, in an overall sense, because all of it is tied together emotionally,
right.
Everything spiritual, all of it ties together. It opens up him to be able to, even though he doesn't give advice, he doesn't give advice, but I can go to him and talk to him about any and everything. Mm-hmm. When you couldn't even say two words to that man at one time. So I could go to him now and say, hey, such and such and such, and this is how I'm feeling when I have other issues, when I have relationship issues, I could go to him. He doesn't give advice. He just say, well, you're going to have to, you're just going to have to pay attention. His silence gave me an answer sometimes. When it came down to, if there was anything financially, like even when I lost my job, you know, he sat and listened. At one time, it was never, ever him sitting there listening to nothing you have to say. So it's like I'm able to go to him and talk to him about things that I could have never talked to him about before. When I'm talking, even not only that, my relationship was with him strange. My own children relationship with him was very strange. So, as I said earlier, if anybody will look at us now, they will never ever know what kind of a strange relationship we had. I know he was my father, but to me, as a little girl, my father should have been my best friend. So that's the way, you know, he should have been my best friend, that I should have been able to talk to him about any and everything. Now that, even though I'm older, I'm still able to talk to him about things because I still have him here. So, you know, even going to when he got sick, my sister and I told him, like, look, you took care of us. You made sure we never slept in the dark. We always had food in the house. You know, you took care of us as a father should have taken care of us. So now that you're not 100%, allow us to take care of you. Now, we ain't taking care of you financially, but allow us to take care of you, you know. But it's just a sense of knowing that there's a big difference in that relationship. And it just build that relationship and build our relationship, and our relationship is much healthier. My self-esteem was built up because of it. You know, I can't tell me nothing, Madeline, I'm just kidding. But it just built up that, you know, that more of a having more of a confidence. You know, I was always confident, but, you know, a father loves is totally different. You know, it builds up that confidence because I was able to forgive him. But the biggest thing is that all the years that has passed by, you know, that of not having that type of relationship, it is like, and it didn't take me long because it wasn't a long process, because when I knew who I was in Christ, I knew that I didn't have much time to do that because life is short. And with my mother passing away, it taught me life was short, you know, unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. So it taught me life was short. So knowing that I was able to forgive myself, because at first I was like, I missed all these years, and just why I just didn't talk to him earlier about it, you know. So I had to even forgive myself, because holding on to that, of not forgiving him and all the ill feelings that I had, I was like, you know, he's my dad, and this is what the Bible says. So it was a hard time to forgive yourself, but I had to do it quickly.
Yeah.
Because I did not want my life cut off because of unforgiveness.
Right.
The benefit of
once again,
forgiving someone.
Yeah. You know, and once again, it's not an option. If you're trying to get into, you know, and like I said, is not, you know, it's not an option, but it is your choice, because it, depending on where you want to go after you leave this earth, you know, you can decide what you want to do. But for those who are trying to live twice, forgiveness is not an option. So you have to make it a point to do it. But you said something that was very, 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 very crucial that we all fall short of, and that is forgiving ourselves. And we can forgive the person, but forgiving ourselves is where we sometimes we have a tendency of holding ourselves hostage. And the thing about it is, you can go to God, you can go to the offender, you can go and go to God, but then we tend to have a tendency of holding ourselves hostage when it's time to let it go. Easier said than done sometimes. But sometimes we have a tendency, and that's the trick of the enemy. We all know that. That's the trick of the enemy. It's like, well, you know you did so-and-so-and-so, and and then we have to be like, okay, hold on a second now. You know, you have to get to that point. Like, you know what, I am, and for me, I am no longer going to let you hold me captive or hostage. I've asked God, I've gotten forgiveness from the offender. I've gotten forgiveness from God. Then you will no longer hold it. I will no longer hold this any longer. You will not. I will not allow you to hold that or put that over me any longer. But you're right. The benefits of the forgiveness. I just heard it. You know, I heard all of it, especially in these points that I was reading. You know, when it talks about forgiveness, help us regain our personal power. You know, the anger, the hate, the resent, you know, we're giving up, we're giving them the power, but when we forgive, we're taking our power back. We're taking our power back because we have control over us. When we, you know, have that anger or resentment, we're giving them our power. And I tell people that all the time, when you're angry at them, you're giving them your power. Take your power back. Take your power back. You know, also, you know, when you forgive, it brings you back to a good physical and mental place.
Yeah,
because it, you know, you'll be losing your hair, you'll be your weight going up and down. You know, when you forgive, your hair grow back. You know, you get yourself back. You know, you start eating, and you know, you gain your weight back. You just even your skin starts to look better. You know. And your mental is even better as well. You know, people want to be around you. And let's just be honest. You know, people want to, because they will see the change from the inside out, not the outside in, inside out. Because when you are content from the inside, it will show up on the outside immediately. It will start showing up on the outside. You know, forgiveness will also clear your cobwebs. So you can see good again, meaning that, you know, the people that hurt you, you're so caught up in your hurt, you can't see or think clearly. But when you forgive, you get caught up in some stuff, but when you forgive, you can start seeing things clearly, you can start thinking clearly, you know, you can start you start seeing the positive qualities even in the person that hurt you. Because especially if you're a person of God, you're going to start seeing that I've learned or still learning that it's not the person, it's the spirit. It's not the person, it's their spirit. And I have to check their spirit. So what I'm learning to do is go into intercessory prayer. Because I had a situation where it hurt me to my core. It did. It really did. And then I had to ask myself, what exactly am I upset about? I did an exercise today because I'm in this master class, and it's talking about my soul care. And it's really making me go deep, 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 Karen. To a point where it had me broken down this morning, but it made me realize that have I overreacted in this situation? But what does God say about this situation and this person? And it goes back to
it's not the person, it's the spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's when I have to come back. And so I said, let me, then I automatically start going to intercessory for that person because it's a spiritual attack. It is a spiritual attack. Now, which leads me to the questions I wanted to get up into. And I'm going to, as we start to wrap this up, you know, some people ask, you know, I want to say, you know, we talk about what forgiveness is, you know, we touch on it, but what is forgiveness not, okay? Forgiveness is not some like, if someone is constantly beating up on you or someone is constantly put in a situation, forgiveness is not something you can forgive the offense. You can forgive the offender. You don't have to go back to the offender. Okay, you just forgive that situation where you release the anger, you release the hurt or whatever, but you don't go back into the situation. Okay, you don't have to go back to the situation. You could forgive and love someone from afar. You don't have to be around them.
Correct.
No, you don't. I've learned that in that situation that I just was not too long ago in, I'm forgiven, but guess what? I don't have to be around it because it's a toxic situation. And I realize that I have to go in intercessory because that's my brother in Christ, but I don't have to expose myself to the toxic situation. I can pray from afar. That's how I see it. So forgiveness is not continue to entertain what you're constantly forgiven. Next question that was was asked of me is, do you have to communicate with someone if you forgive? No. The answer to that is no, you don't. The second question was, how many times do I have to forgive? Now I have to find my Bible scripture on that one, and it's every time. And it was like, I'm trying to find my Bible scripture on that one because I had a particular Bible scripture on that. There's a particular Bible scripture on that one that I wanted. Huh?
It's Matthew 18.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, Matthew 18:21-22.
Because it was, you know, I said, yes, every time they offend you, yes, you do have to forgive. And how many times? As many times as they did. Because guess what? I've learned. Because remember, when you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. Because who are we? We all fall short. We all fall short. And how many times do we fall short? I can't even count it no more. So, you know, I'm just past that. I can't even count it. There's no need for me to count it. I don't have enough fingers, toes. I don't have enough.
We fall short every time we choose not to forgive somebody for their shortcomings.
Exactly.
Our own shortcomings.
Exactly. I hate iPhone. I got my son's iPhone trying to work it. And he's not here. Oh, here we go. We have to forgive. We have to forgive a lot. So every time, just remember, because He forgives us, we have to forgive others. We have to forgive others. And just as many times as he forgives us, that's as many times we have to forgive others. That's as many times as we have to forgive others. Okay, I can't find it, so I got to go to the scripture. Okay, what'd you say it was, Karen?
It's not you.
Matthew 18. Okay.
Yes,
what's the script?
And what? 21:22.
Oh, here it is right here. Here it is right here. No, it's giving me Luke. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to do the NIV version. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. So, yeah.
Actually, it's more, probably more than that. That's just being nice. But the point is, you know, we all fall short, and just like we want him to forgive us, we have to forgive others, you know. So just I just tell people, you know, the benefits of forgiving is peace of mind. When we talk about this and we just wrap it and sum it up, it is peace of mind. All together, there's nothing like a peace of mind. And the forgiveness is not for the other person. It is for you. Because in the end, we all have to come and stand and, you know, stand and be accountable. Nobody else going to be around there, just us. Mm-hmm. And we're going to all have to be accountable and answer for what we have done. Not what someone did to us, but what we have done as a result of what they did, how we responded to it. And that's one of the things we just have to remember. You know, as we go into next week, I want to talk about, you know, we talked about unforgiveness, the root of unforgiveness, and then this week we're talking about forgiveness. Next week, I want to talk about how to forgive. Because some people are like, well, how do you forgive? I mean, is it just that easy? I mean, I heard Ms. Karen's, you know, situation, and I even have some more testimonies to share on that next week on, you know, how people forgave and the benefits of it. But, and I probably have one more I'll try to get it in tonight, but I want to talk about how we forgive and talk about the steps of how we forgive. As we're going to wrap up the forgiveness series soon. But I want to talk about that. And this subject is so near and dear to me because I'm actually doing a master class on this, and it just caused me to dig so deep in it. And talking with Ms. Karen here, you know, and just hearing her testimony, it's just, you know, make me realize, you know, I'm on the right track on what I'm doing. And I just want to say, for those of you who are going through or who have gone through, going through, and you know what your situation is, that it's temporary. And yes, I'm not going to take away any offense that anything or anyone has had, but what I'm saying is, if you need to cry, cry. If you need to yell, yell. Do whatever you need to do, but holding on to it, not healthy. Because in the end, they're not the person that offended you, not thinking about you. That's what I've learned. They're not thinking about you. And honestly, they probably, I'm not going to say they don't care. Some don't care, some do care. But the point is, you're better than that. Your peace of mind is so much better than that, you know. And just think about it. To have peace, what is it going to take for you to have peace? Holding on to stuff is not the way to go. If you are trying to live a life, if you're trying to live twice, then forgiveness is not an option. You have to do it. And we can try to find why we're holding on. But to be honest with you, if you die tomorrow, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. Is it worth it? Is what you have to ask yourself. So if you're not there, get there. And if you don't know how to do it, then tune in next week as we talk about how to forgive. What are the steps to forgiveness? And that's what we're going to be talking about next week as we conclude the end of our series of forgiveness. I'm so excited about where Chronicles is going this year. I am very, very excited, and I'm so happy to have Karen as a part of this project. I'm so grateful to have her, and along with other people who have just been really faithful and just prayer warriors, and just I'm just grateful to have them on board. And Karen, I really, really appreciate you. I love you, my sister. And I really, really want to thank you for being transparent for everyone, because you do have people out there that they needed to hear this. I need to hear it for myself, because it was a true blessing for me. And I truly, truly, truly appreciate you doing that. I was trying to see if I can get one more testimony in, and I'm going to see if I can do it. And this is from Charleston, South Carolina. She indicated, for a long time, I've hated my husband for all the stuff that he did to me. I suffered with depression and self-worth because of it. I had to really pray to God to heal my heart, and one day I just let all that hurt and anger go. I forgave him, even though he still was real special after that. But once I did, I felt so much better. My hair grew back. I gained my weight back, got off depression medicine, and my confidence is at an all-time high. As you could tell, yes, he is. And I finally found someone who loves me for me. I made a promise to myself that I would never let any human being take me to a dark place like that again. And I mean it. That was awesome. And she has one of the most successful cake business that I know. I know, because she's done two cakes for me so far. She's going to do another cake for me coming up. But forgiveness, when you forgive, it's so much that it's the release. And you'd be surprised the blessing that will come out of it. So, like I said, if you're not there yet, if you want to get there, don't know how to get there, tune in next week as we talk about, or as we discuss how to forgive and the steps of forgiveness. I promise you it'll be worth your while. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall. I'm thanking Ms. Karen Walker for joining me tonight. You've been tuning in to Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. We come in every Sunday at 9:30. God loves you. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.